Thank you, Pastor Dave. We have a video, a little introduction. We're going to see if we can make that play at this time, so enjoy.
My name is Isidore Charters, and your name is Yenna Morsica, and my childhood name is Yemo. I'm an Okanagan Nation native and Thompson. My dad was from the Okanagan side, and my mother was from the Thompson. I went to the residential school when I was a little boy. The residential schools were schools set up to take children away from 6 years old and take away the culture, the language, to make them true Canadians. Assimilation. A lot of people were getting hurt and they were abused physically, mentally, spiritually. I remember things that no one would want to remember. I was hurt and maimed. So this is my healing journey. In a nutshell, I guess that's kind of why I'm doing this particular kind of work today. I became an artist as a little boy when I was grade 3 going on to grade 4. My drawings were like of blood and gore and snakes and death and things. And that's when I was being taken advantage of. But when I went home, then I started drawing horses. They were beautiful things. And that's when I started becoming an artist. I went to college for that. Then I went to university for some programs. I went to Emily Carr. And if I weren't hurt, maybe I wouldn't have become an artist, because that's the way I was expressing myself. The totem pole on top is a bear. And another Yams, that's the way things were. The Creator sent down a helper in the form of a black bear with a star on his neck. I want him up there because Jesus came down special to help our people. So he's also a brother that came down to help us. At the very top, there's two children on the bear's ears. Closest to the Creator are the children because they're so pure. So they're up on top. And below the bear is a mother that represents nurturing and healing. The lady represents the people that went to the residential school, and also people that are caring for us up on the other side. My Indian name, Yenna Morsica, that derived from an elder man long ago who was a storyteller, and who used to pass on the good word of how great Tikwili was, the spirit. My art is part of my journey to tell the world of how great God is, and giving back my art talent to help people understand. In this world, we're all different. So find out what you have that you want the rest of the world to know about, and be that beacon. Shed your light. So do the best you can. There's a place for you in this world. Kuxjem Hasklahal. White.
Well, it's an honor for us to be here today, and for me to be here with Isidore. He's introduced himself quite well in that video already. I don't know why I don't have a video.
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
Yeah. Are you working on it? I wonder how it's going to turn out.
Well, we take pictures and stuff.
Yeah,
right?
We do. Yeah. I grew up in Yarrow, near Chilliwack, and my dad was a typical Mennonite settler looking for land, and settled on some land that had recently been drained, Sumas Lake. I grew up just a mile away from where Linda Weens grew up. And that used to be the hunting grounds of the local Stolo, Aboriginal people. Yeah. It's interesting, when I grew up, I never thought about who used to occupy that land that we were farming. It was just something that I never thought about. What was your background, and where did your mom and your dad come from? And you said a little bit about that video, but why don't you just tell us again?
Well, my name is Yenna Morsica, and it means willow blanket. And also, My given name is Isidore, and my little boy name is Yemo. I shall use that today. And I'm from the Okanagan Thompson Nation.
The Clausens, guess, originally came from Holland. We still spell our name with two A's and two S's like they do in Holland. But then they're part of the Anabaptist movement and then eventually went to Russia or the Ukraine and then came back and settled in different parts of Canada. We were newcomers to Canada, and many of the newcomers were actually welcomed by the Aboriginal people when they first came. But the Aboriginal people were generally pushed aside, put onto reserves, and the residential school system was set up to try to make Christianized, civilized Canadians out of the Aboriginal people, because the new dominant culture, which was basically European, basically decided that the Aboriginal people did not have a culture. It wasn't a culture worthy to be kept, and so they needed to become Christianized, and that meant to be civilized, and that meant to be act like Europeans. So my early recollection of Aboriginal people was when some natives used to come on our farmyard with some salmon underneath the back seat of their car, and usually kind of hiding it and trying to sell us the salmon, which was, I guess, we thought illegally harvested at that time. But my dad did land up buying some because it was a good deal, and he was a Mennonite, right? So that works out. What's your earliest memory of white people?
Well, my earliest memory of the white people was when I was just a little boy.
Okay.
And I was just a little, small little tyke. 6 years old, and I can remember Mom and Dad says, we're going to go to a special place, we're going to go to a school and make them excited for us. So they took me there and we met, stopped by a highway, and on comes this great big farm truck, great big green farm truck. It screeches to a halt, and there it lifted me up, put me inside there to go to the residential school. Wow, what in the shock that was. And I get in there, and I see all the other little kids, little boys and girls, they're in there crying. And boy, I knew then it wasn't this exciting ride I was going to go to. So, and I ended up at residential school, and they put us in there for 10 months out of the year. So my first experience was, I walked into this building, my brothers went this way, my sister went that way, and I learned about God. I'm telling you, I was terrified of God. To me, they said, we commit sins, and not venial sins, whatever. They pounded in my head that I was going to be, I could burn in hell for small sins. So I was really afraid. And a lot of times, when you're a little boy like that, you don't know whether you're going to be, who you're going to be. Because he said, here you're going to learn how to be like us. You're going to learn how not to speak your language. Learn here, it's just a different thing altogether. So that way I learned how to be like the white man. Learn a different religion and take the Indian out of me. So the other thing though was, the biggest thing for me was who was I? And I knew that from the movies and all that it wasn't pretty cool to be an Indian. You know, he's getting shot down and cowboys and shooting the Redskins and calling us savages and wagon burners. I guess some of them were in the movies like that.
Wagon burner. Sounds like a compliment, actually, these days. Stanley Cup rider. After high school, I went to Bible college where I met Judy, who was a missionary kid from Africa. And we were married, and we started almost immediately going on mission trips and so on, and then eventually completed graduate studies. What did you do after residential school?
Well, when I left the residential school about 10 years, I mean,
when I was about. I left early as a young man, and I became an alcoholic, and I became a labor worker, and I drank a lot, and I didn't have no self-esteem. Like I was just trodden by, no self-esteem. The residential school took my voice away. I couldn't speak up for myself. I was always kind of passive, but get a few under my belt, man, I could duck bullets and I could do a lot of things when I had a little bit. And but I went to Merritt, and when I left there, I went to a school called Commotion College at Victoria. That's where I met my wife. And, you know, that's the first time I ever really actually got to know somebody personally. And I was so shy. And she'd look across from me, and I was 18 years old, and we're in a cafe, and I'd blush and get red and look away and do silly things. You know, they knew how to order food. I'm telling you, one time I ordered some toast. And, would you like to toast it? And I says, would it be better? You know, I say silly things like that. I'm telling you, I was a wreck. Yeah.
Would it be better toasted?
Yeah, would it be better? You know, would you be? Yeah, and I was so like, I was just like terrified. I was really shy and I guess a little bit on the silly side when you come to think of it. My wife thought that was funny.
So what kind of place did art start to play in your life at that point?
Yeah, when I was a little boy, art was started when I was young, grade 3, grade to grade 4. And I was being taken advantage of by one of the oblates. And during that time, we used to draw snakes and blood and gore, black and red. I'd never used those pretty colors like orange and blue and green. So I was a pretty angry kid. That's how I became an artist. Started there, but when I went home, I saw drawing pretty pictures. Yeah.
So for someone who was in a school which was run by the church, in that case the Catholic Church, Protestant churches around the schools as well, where Christ was misrepresented so badly, how did it come about that you eventually gave your life to Christ?
You know, like to say, you take any child, you put him in there at least 3 years away from his own culture, you will get him, big time. It'll always be entrenched in him. And it's true. But anyways, when I left the school and worked menial jobs and stuff like that, but one thing I knew that there was still inkling and there's a little whispering voice, you know, there is a God, there is a God. But finally I decided, you know, I tried a lot of times when I had altar calls. I must have went there about 6 times, but I still went back to my old ways. But one time, these 2 big Indians came to my house. They kind of knew me. And they started praying on my head, and they started to holler and jump around a little bit and put oil on my head. They were really on fire. And I was sitting there, and I was taking it all in. And pretty soon I said, yeah, I gave myself to the Lord. And they quit. And they said, you know, you're going to have to phone somebody special. Now let them know that you're a child of God. So I phoned my sister. Woke her up way late in the morning. Her name was Opal. What time is it? I said, I don't know. I said, I gave myself to the Lord. That was it.
And you thought you're going to have to go to Bible college and be a preacher. Well, you are a preacher.
Yeah, and then my wife thought I was going to go to Bible college and we're going to evangelize and everything. Like I was on fire. Eh? My own brothers and sisters, they kind of get scared of me. Eh? Oh, here he comes now. Oh, and God, don't pray for me. I still want to drink yet, you know, and that stuff like that.
Yeah. Jesus often surprised people through the stories he told, and we've heard this story already this morning. We're going to just kind of play it out for you one more time. On one occasion, an expert of the law stood up to test Jesus, and he said, "What must I do to have or achieve eternal life?"
Jesus asked, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?"
The theological expert answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself."
Jesus replied, "You have answered correctly. Do these and you will live."
But the expert in the law, wanting to justify himself, said, "Who is my neighbor?"
Jesus says, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of the robbers."
Wait a minute. I think maybe we should act this out to make it a little bit more realistic. Each of us should take like one of the parts in the parable.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Who will play the part of the poor guy who was beaten?
Well, I don't want to, but how about...
Don't ask me. Don't ask me.
I don't think anybody really wants to play that part. So I brought a little puppet along. Actually, he's kind of a life-size puppet. That will work out as being the poor Jewish man who was attacked by robbers. If your name is Yemo, and my name is Menno. Actually, Menno? Yeah, okay. Maybe let's call him Benno.
Okay, yeah. Yemo, Menno, and Benno.
Okay, right. I'm going to go get Benno for us here in a sec. Maybe you can hang on.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Benno doesn't talk much. He's kind of a quiet type like you used to be. But he does understand, and he has opinions of his own as well. Okay, so where were we?
It says he stripped off his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead.
Well, let's make it a little more real and give him a shot or two.
Come on, you will help me.
I don't feel comfortable with this. He's down and out, and why make it worse? I thought manners were supposed to be pacifists.
Well, I am. I just pacified him.
A priest happened to be going down the same road. Who were the priests?
Well, the priests were the religious teachers. They had studied the law, and they knew how to teach the law. And they knew how to apply it, and so they taught the people in that way. They were really respected as the teachers, the religious teachers.
Jesus said, said that when the priest saw the man, he passed by on the other side.
I think we got ahead of ourselves. Who was going to play the part of the priest?
No, don't ask me.
You want me to do it? I went to Bible college. Okay.
Sure, that'd be a good idea. Yeah. So when Jesus said there was a Levite who came by, who? Well, when? Okay. Well, the priest passed by.
You get the point. The priest passed by on the other side. He wasn't very helpful, was he? Well, he probably had an important job to do because he was going from Jerusalem down to Jericho. So that meant he was going away from Jerusalem, and he had He had just been there, so he's probably like going home. Maybe he was late for supper. He needed to get there in time, not be late. It's really important not to be late, right?
That's right, and it's more important to be helpful and than be late. More important to just to be more useful, so you help them.
Well, I think being on time is pretty important.
Yes, being on time is okay, but then it's more important to be helpful.
Okay. And in your culture, that's certainly true. Well, maybe there were some people that needed helping. I don't know. So, Jesus said,
there was a Levite who came by. Who were the Levites?
Well, they were like the people who assisted in the temple. They were especially appointed by God for that role. And so they were pretty important, and they did a lot of good things, and they helped the people worship.
So maybe you should be the Levite.
Okay, sure, I'll be the Levite.
Jesus said, when the Levite came to the place where the beaten up man was, he passed on the other side.
This isn't working out very well for me.
You took the part.
Well, don't rub it in. Then Jesus said,
a Samaritan came by at last. Who were the Samaritans?
Well, the Samaritans were the people who had been forcibly removed from their home country and had been moved in right next to where the Jewish people lived. And they bought their religious practices with them. And they mixed them up with their own practices. So they were doing all kinds of religious things that the Jews strongly disagreed with. They also intermarried with the Jews. And they provided safe haven for anyone who was trouble in Israel to come over to Samaria and they could kind of hang out. And that did not make them favorites of the Jews. In fact, the Jews considered them dirty, uncivilized, totally messed up spiritually, and people to be avoided. Even though they lived right next door to where the Jews lived, the Jews had nothing to do with them.
And maybe I could play this part, okay?
Okay. So in the parable, the Samaritan came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went and bandaged up his wounds, pouring on his own oil and wine. Could you hurry it up there? Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out his own money and gave the coins to the innkeeper. And he said, look after him, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you've had. Nice work, Yemo. So Benno is getting better really fast. He's a fast healer. I think we should go get him. Why don't you grab the mic? I'll go get him. Are you going to bring him? Okay. Careful his head doesn't fall off. What's this? Your best buddies now? The expert of the law replied, well, Jesus said,
which of these do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?
The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him.
Jesus told him, go and do likewise.
So, who was the unlikely hero in this story? It was the Samaritan, the most despised people in the area. Aboriginal people are still often despised in our society. They're often misunderstood and pushed aside. Jesus chose people like that to be the hero in this story and made that unlikely hero an example for the people who were religious. If we are ready to receive it, we can learn a lot from Aboriginal people. And I've learned a lot. And while I'm going to go put Benno so he can have another rest after getting beat up, why don't you tell us a little bit about what you were taught about the greatness of God when you were young from your mom?
When my mother was a young mother, she went to visit a friend of hers. And she got to there, and we were talking about old-timers. My grandmother's mother was named Stair. And she used to tell awesome stories about how great the Creator was. One story she told my mother was, you know, long ago, if you rode a horseback 4 miles this way, come right back to this place, and came and rode four days that way, came back here. So every direction was 4 days and come right back to the same place. He says, Shells or Kukpik, the Creator is such a has such a big heart, you wouldn't even begin to realize how big that heart was. That was just described in Indian way, how big the Creator's, Jesus or God's heart was. So that was just an Indian story that's what my people really believed in the Creator already.
And there are many stories among Aboriginal people too about how newcomers would come, and they would be, in some cases the story was they would have a black book with them, or they would have some additional teaching for them. But for so many of their Aboriginal people, when those newcomers came, who they expected to come, because their legend said they would, the people treated them so badly. The message that they had in the book was okay, but the people didn't live very well. We can also learn a lot about working together. Tell us a little bit about why you want people to help you carve on the pole.
It's important to, when I go around talking about to people about residential schools, I have a reconciliation totem pole right in front of me, and it talks about how I tell my story, but anybody who helps me carve on it also becomes part of my reconciliation healing. So that's why it's really important that when I put a display somewhere else, we'll allow somebody, you, to come and carve with me. So eventually it's going to stand up at the residential school where I went to, and they're going to honor that pole and to tell a story to go on again. They're not going to pray to or anything. They're just going to say, yeah, that's the story you want told. And it's going to sit in Kamloops. So that's his resting place. Right now we're on a journey. I've been to a lot of churches, communities, schools, and that's been great.
We're going to be at the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, which is advertised in your bulletin, and I want to encourage you to take a day to go there. It's during the week. You can go during the day, or you can go in the evening as well. It's a September 17th, 21st. I attended one in Montreal and then a small one in Kamloops just about 6 weeks ago, and it is an amazing experience. There's a lot of people who are telling their stories, and it helps us to understand what our Aboriginal people went through. And it's also a chance to connect with people and to pray for them. And among the survivors who come and share their story, there are also those who are believers. I remember one lady in Montreal, she was had a very honored position right on stage, and she was Inuit, and she was lighting an oil lamp that they used to use to heat in the Inuit community. And she spoke in Inuit, and they were translating. I could hear the translation over my headset, and she prayed, and they asked her to pray an invocation, and there's always prayer. This is an amazing thing. There's always prayer of invocation and closing prayers in the Aboriginal community at these kinds of events, and cell phones as well. You better turn that thing off. It's just going to keep running. Oh, it's okay? Okay. And when she was praying, I heard the translation, and all of a sudden she started talking about, oh, Lord, Lord, bless us here today. And she answered, and she ended her prayer, in Jesus' name, amen. So God is working in the community, and I encourage you to go and pray and be a part of that. What are some of the best ways to demonstrate Christ's love in the Aboriginal community, Yemo?
Well, one of the ways we're really big on having sitting at the table and having dinner. If we're going to settle our disputes or anything, we set the table, people come and we'll eat first and have a better sense of where we're going to go. So, and if you want to know us, set the table, we'll have a good time and go to the powwows and go to the canoe races and we'll get to know one another.
What are some things we've been able to do together at Sardis Church with the elder group that you belong to?
So we had an art show, and we had a game night, and we had a indigenous cookout. Everybody went, the different nations came to there, and everybody had their special cooking, and they even got me to cook bannock. I'm telling you, I'm a professional bannock maker now. Bannock is type of bread that we cook.
So I want to encourage you as a church, too, to take the opportunities with Aboriginal people as you're able to do that, and with people of all cultures, especially, like Isidore was saying, setting the table together and sharing culture and sharing what's really important. We've had some wonderful times. We've had some meetings where, you know, we invited all the Aboriginal elders to come and agreed to come, but, you know, you never know, like, for sure, you know, you wonder whether people are going to come. And I remember the meal was at 5:30, standing there at 5, and the building was empty and wondering, okay, who's going to come? At 5 after 5, people started came in, and elders came in, and elders and their children and their grandchildren, and we had an amazing time together, telling stories, telling jokes. Somebody got up and started singing Hank Williams songs. Somebody got up and started dancing. And, you know, a lady who had had heart surgery just a few weeks before got up, and she was so thrilled that she could get up and do a few moves, and she did, to the applause of everybody. You know, that's building community, and that's building real relationship. And we've just been so blessed. One of the elders came up after one of our things, and she looked up at the ceiling, and this is a church. This is a Christian organization from the Native perspective that brought this kind of pain in many cases upon them. And she said to me, this is such a friendly place. This is such a friendly place. Thank you for inviting us here. And I think that is reconciliation. We need reconciliation on a national level, provincial level, and so on. But we need reconciliation on an individual level as well. And so we've been sharing our story. We're making a film that's just getting finished up this week. It's 30 minutes long about our journey together, and we hope that's going to be used in churches across Canada to encourage other churches to really move along this way. One of the wonderful things that Isidore does is sing as well, and I'm going to ask him to sing a song that was taught to him again by his mom. And you can explain a little bit what it is about, and then we'll have you sing for us and pray for us as we close. Oh, and I want to mention, we're going to invite people to come up afterwards to carve on the pole, right? And you'll show them what to do, and they can't do that much damage. Well, they can do damage, but there's always glue. We had one guy started hacking away at the nose, and in the wrong place, and so we had to move the whole face down a couple inches. So anyway, don't do that.
Okay, my mother, before she left me, she said, you know, Yemo, my kid name, he says, we have a song called the Red Horse Song. There's a young man going to a special place, and before that he has a sweat lodge as a type of way of getting really clean. Next morning he gets up, the sun is rising, the birds are singing, and he goes and gets his most favorite horse, and he's going to go to that place. He dresses himself up nice, braids his hair. He's looking really sharp. He's going to that place, and this is called the Shrumpkin.
So this is a hopeful song, a song of the future, a song of love and good things.
Way up here, Shrumpkin way. Hi, 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 hey, 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 hi, 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 hey, 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 a shrumpkin wee. Way a shrumpkin wee. Hi, 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 hey, 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 hi, 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 hey, 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 shrumpkin wee, hey, hey, shrumpkin wee. Hi, 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 hi,
hi, hi, hi, hi, hi, hi, hi, hi, hi,
I ask you to pray for us.
Dear Lord God, Father in heaven, thank you for this time together. Bless the people here that hear your word, and that you will walk away with a different point of view of our people out there, and remember that we are all one at one in one spirit. We may have different nationalities, but we have one spirit in God. Bless us all today. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.